So recognizing that America only slowed the infighting. Well, let's go back and present this in the proper perspective. Before America invaded Iraq, Sunnis and Shias in Iran, and excuse me, in Iraq, were not killing each other. They just weren't. There was essentially no terrorism at all in Iraq. America invades. There is, at that point, there is very little terrorism between Sunnis and Shias in Iraq. Why? Because the Americans were there and they had fresh meat. Ah, they could go kill the invading infidel, and so both the Shias and the Sunnis were equally vicious. In fact, there was a significant period of time where the Shia militias were most responsible for American death. And they even played a role in Fallujah, even though Fallujah is a Sunni town. So if your idea is you're going to keep a lid on Sunni-Shiite fighting and killing because, oh, well, we provided a distraction. You know, they stopped hunting each other because we provide them something that they preferred hunting together. I guess it was a sign of togetherness, but it's not so good when the target is your sons and daughters. Well, then we decided that since we had empowered a Shiite government and we had provided them with $25 billion worth of weapons, that maybe we had a problem here. And so we came up with the brainchild of the Awakening Program, where during the surge, we provided less caliber, less effective weapons, but a lot of them, typically assault rifles, to the Sunnis. And so now when we left, who were they going to kill? We had armed both sides. They hate each other. There was no longer a unified target. And so they started killing each other. Gee. And how was that not predictable? And there was a period of time where we actually ignited a civil war between the two while Americans were there. But because Americans decided we're just going to hunker down on our bases. We're going to be there, but we're not going to play. And so they couldn't kill Americans, and so they started killing one another even then. Then there was a period of time during the Awakening Program, kind of interesting, when the Americans were arming the Sunnis, which then became the impetus for the Syrian Civil War and for what we're witnessing right now in the fall of Fallujah, is that the Shiite militias, which were in charge of the government, they recognized that Americans were providing them, the Shiites, with not only $25 billion worth of weapons, but $25 billion worth of training on how to use those weapons. This was a godsend. And at the same time, the Americans were viewing the Sunnis, because they were more related to Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda is a Sunni organization, not a Shiite organization, that they were putting the Sunnis down. And so, man, that was absolutely spectacular for the Shiites. They stopped killing Americans. I said, why kill them? They're not only giving us the country, they're providing us with an army. And they're not only providing us with an army, they're providing us with all the weapons we could ever dream of. This is spectacular. And they start killing Americans. And when we left, they started using their weapons to kill Sunnis. And the Sunnis used the weapons we had given them to kill Shiites. Why was any of this hard to understand? Within hours, the Time magazine article reads, Americans who fought and covered the pair of bloody 2004 campaigns to keep Fallujah out of Sunni militant hands expressed concern over the Internet as to whether their fallen comrades had died in vain. And it was these quotes that we ended yesterday's program, and we're going to go back to them. Because the first of them, for example, is all about Vietnam. And I'm the last person to gloat. I've got, you know, more faults than hair on my head. You know, I recognize that that gloating is a really bad idea. That said, before America invaded Iraq, on some 3,000 radio shows and in some 7,000 pages of published research online, I said unequivocally and without exception that our invasion of Iraq will turn out very similar to our invasion of Vietnam. We'll bring down a government. We'll put together a puppet government. That puppet government will be unbelievably corrupt. We will not have a clue as to who's a good guy or a bad guy. We'll be fighting the very civilians that we are allegedly there to free. That many, many Americans are going to die. They're going to be destroyed mentally. They'll come back committing suicide because of the fact that it is such a savage environment where it is obvious that there's no way to win. That it does not matter how long we're there, that we will leave it worse than we found it. And made all of the different comparisons that could be made to Vietnam. That it was even true that this invasion, just like the Gulf of Tonkin incident, would be based on a lie. That Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction, nor did he buy enormous amounts of yellow cake uranium, nor was he developing a nuclear bomb. That we invaded both countries based on lies, that we lost American blood, coin, and prestige. We made a bad situation worse. And when we left, there was nothing but chaos in our wake. We broke those countries. And I said it over and over and over again. In fact, there was one show called Coast to Coast. It was a 3-hour interview with George Norrie that was so specific as to what was going to happen in Iraq and why we ought not be in Iraq and the influence of Islam and why what we were attempting to do, which was to instill democracy, had zero chance of prevailing, that we were going to make a bad situation worse. Art Bell, who had made that program, came back and said, you know, I'm willing to guest host one show coming out of retirement, but I want that guy that told the truth when no one was ready to hear it about the invasion of Iraq. I want him as my guest. And we did another 3 hours. And everybody had all the excuses in the world as to why we were doing the right thing. We laid it all out. This was 10 years ago. And it all came home to roost. So this is the first of those comments. He says, this is Philip Carter, an Army veteran of the Iraq War, says, is this what it felt like for Vietnam vets in 75? That they had gone over there to fight. That they were killed and killed. And when they all left, it was for naught. Yes, that is correct. Every aspect of it. An unpopular war where the invasion was based on a series of lies that made a bad situation worse that could not have been won if we had stayed there for 1,000 years. Another, Paul Sadara, asked, why did they die? Well, they died making a bad situation worse. They died because of propaganda, because of patriotism, because of the destructive nature of having an established military and of politicians wanting to use it because it makes them popular. They died because of our collective inability to exercise good judgment, the nation's growing immorality. That's why they died. It was for nothing. Another wrote, and this is priceless. If you think Fallujah's fall suddenly means your Iraq service was in vain, then you've been oblivious for 11 years, added Brandon Friedman. who also served there as an Army infantry officer and wrote a book about the experience. It was always pointless. And it was. The Iraq War was fought primarily because George Bush wanted to be a wartime president. He wanted to be popular. That's why it was fought. It worked for him. For everyone else, it was a horrid affair. Our invasion led to the deaths of nearly a million people. We squandered $4 trillion. We gave Iraq to Iran. We changed fundamentally the power fulcrum in the Islamic Middle East in favor of Iran and Shiite Islam. It became the catalyst for civil wars in Iraq now and in Syria. It was about the most suicidal, the dumbest, the most counterproductive thing that this nation has ever done. Veteran Middle East observer Jeffrey Goldberg summed it up this way: one war from Beirut to Baghdad. That's true. Sunnis via Shiites, suggesting that the latest Battle of Fallujah is simply the latest fight across the wide region of the globe between the Sunni and Shiite sects. He's right. But what he hasn't said that needs to be said is America armed both sides. We've provided close to $100 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia, another $30 billion worth of weapons to Qatar. We provided $25 billion of weapons to the Shiites governing Iraq on the other side. We've armed both sides. We've become the merchants of death for the world, thinking ourselves peacemakers. We're the killers. Now, I understand that we're not pulling the triggers anymore. But we provided them. We provided the ammunition that is savaging so many lives. We'll be back with Shattering This after the commercial break. The Time magazine article, and by the way, you are encouraged to call if you'd like to take exception with anything that we're saying here, or even to add to it, 877-300-7645. The Time magazine article says, strangely or perhaps not, the Pentagon was officially silent. I think those in the Pentagon know the truth. I think they know that they failed miserably, that the invasion was counterproductive, that we made a bad situation worse, that this surge did not work, that they were utter and complete failures. Although, you know, you read excerpts from Gates' book that he's out touting now, and you get the sense that Gates believes that the Iraq War was a good thing, and that the surge was a good thing, and the awakening program was a good thing, and that it's only political malfeasance that prevented outright victory. So maybe the blinders of the Pentagon are sufficient for them to be completely wrong even today on this war, just as they were in Vietnam, just as they were in Korea. You know, all the Pentagon has ever said on Iraq has been untrue. I had the displeasure of devoting better part of a year to writing a 1,000-page analysis of the of terrorism and how terrorism over time, particularly after the formation of OPEC, changed from being about 20% Islamic and 80% communist, socialist, to the point now that terrorism now is 99% fundamentalist Islamic, mostly Sunni Islamic. And during that time, of course, we had the Iraq War, because my timeline ended in 2004. I just grew weary of it, is the reason. But what I found is that by investigating the death of every American soldier in the first 3 years of the Afghan war and the first 2.5 years of the Iraqi war, that the U.S. Department of Defense can never be trusted, that they almost always told the family and the media something that was untrue. If a man was killed by friendly fire or by an accident, they always lied and said, oh, no, it was in the line of duty fighting the enemy. Well, there was actually no enemy. There was no opposing army. The folks labeled insurgents were simply Iraqi civilians of either Sunni or Shiite persuasion that decided that they would use the weapons left behind by the Iraq military to kill the infidels. And that almost everything the State Department and the Department of Defense had to say about what was happening was a lie. And they lied because they didn't want America to lose its patriotic fervor to rally around the troops and win the war. When, in fact, it was obvious from the first days of that war that there was no way to win it, that the people we went in to liberate were the ones that were killing us. And so the government lied. Ignoring American culpability, this is what we read next in the Time magazine article. This is a fight that belongs to the Iraqis, Secretary of State John Kerry said on Sunday in Jerusalem. That is exactly what the president and the world decided some time ago when we left Iraq. So we are not obviously contemplating returning. We're not contemplating putting boots on the ground. He pledged unspecified help you from the U.S., however, and returning stability to Western Iraq. What is stability? The dominion of Shiites over Sunnis? You know, the reason that this all boiled up in Fallujah is because American weapons, tanks, and attack helicopters were used to indiscriminately murder Sunni protesters in Fallujah. So what are we going to do? Provide more tanks, more attack helicopters, more weapons to kill more innocent civilians? Is that the plan? It was our weapons that led to this. It was us deposing the secular dictator that caused all of this carnage. So, of course, what that means is that more weapons and more instructions on how to use them to kill are going to be brought to bear in Iraq. Some Republicans were quick to pin at least some of the blame on the White House. Quote, when President Obama withdrew all U.S. troops from Iraq in 2011, over the objections of our military leaders and commanders on the ground, many of us predicted that the vacuum would be filled by America's enemies and that it would emerge as a threat to U.S. national interests, end quotes, said Senators John McCown of Arizona and Lindsey Graham. So this was the joint statement by Senators John McCown and Lindsey Graham. When President Obama withdrew all U.S. forces from Iraq in 2011, over the objections of our military leaders and commanders on the ground. Now, before I go further, Obama, to his credit, campaigned on ending both the Iraqi and Afghanistan war. It was obvious that we were losing those wars. There was no chance to prevail. And he campaigned on ending those wars. Now, he's did one of the two, didn't do the other. Second of all, the timing of the withdrawal was actually set by George W. Bush. The 2011 withdrawal timing was set by Bush 2 years before he left office. The timing was coordinated with the military commander, so it was not against the objections of the military leaders and commanders on the ground. That was also untrue. Now, it is true that if you're a military officer, I mean, nothing is better for your career than war. And so they, given an opportunity to be in combat, that's what they want. They love it. That's how they get promoted. They get make more money, and you get promoted more rapidly if you're in combat. So, yeah, the guys on the ground, let's fight. It's good for their careers. That's what they want. And then he said many of us predicted that the vacuum would be filled by America's enemies. No. No vacuum. John McClown. No vacuum. What you did is you deposed a secular dictator that kept a tight control over that country and made certain that country was an enemy of Iran. And you replaced it, not with a vacuum, but with a government controlled entirely by the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani that made Iraq, Iran, West. No vacuum. Total stupidity. And as a result of doing that and of arming both sides, the Sunnis and the Shia, now you have a civil war. Ultimately predictable. Yes, what you predicted was wrong. What I predicted was right. Now, the next part of this is just stunningly stupid. That this vacuum was filled by America's enemies and would emerge as a threat to U.S. national security interests. That is the lie that is used to justify American malfeasance militarily around the globe. There was no threat to America's national security interests in Iraq. There was no threat to America's national security interests in Afghanistan. There's no threat to America's national security interest in Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan. None of those countries have the ability to invade and occupy America. None of those countries acting as a nation are going to declare war on the United States. None have the ability to project a force into the United States. None of them are a threat to the United States. Now, that's not the same as the religion, which you have aided and abetted. The religion of Islam is, in fact, a threat to not just the United States, but the entire world. And not because they can control it, because they can't. But they can destroy. But our military isn't established, doesn't have the means, cannot do anything to protect America from the onslaught of Islamic terrorism. The most effective tool to be wielded against Islamic terrorism abroad is the truth, something that Senator John McClown, you are allergic to. There is no American national security interest in Fallujah. Wasn't, isn't, never will be. This is one of the great lies by politicians to justify the use of the military. Then he writes, the thousands of brave Americans who fought. Not brave. Wasn't brave to go over there and fight to kill people that were civilians in those countries. Wasn't brave. Was immoral. What is Yahweh did he etch in stone? He says, don't make a habit of killing. And what did the military do? Make a habit of killing. There was nothing brave about using superior weapons to kill. Immoral? Counterproductive? A bit insane? Stupid? All those things work. Brave? Stop it with the patriotism. They shed their blood and they lost their friends to bring peace to Fallujah. Fallujah was not a war zone before we invaded. Just look at the timeline. There was no war zone in Fallujah before the Americans invaded. And then once we invaded, Fallujah became a war zone with the citizens of Fallujah targeting and killing Americans. We didn't bring peace to Fallujah in Iraq. We brought war to Fallujah in Iraq. We didn't resolve terrorism in Iraq because there was no terrorism in Iraq before we invaded. We exacerbated terrorism in Iraq. I mean, what is it that politicians like Senator John McClown of Arizona have against the truth? About recognizing the obvious by accepting responsibility. He goes on to say, and are now left to wonder whether these sacrifices were in vain. Why would they wonder, John? It's obvious. The only people that are left to wonder are those who lost a son or daughter and can't deal with the recognition that, as was the case in Vietnam, as was the case in Korea, that they died making a bad situation worse, that their country lied to them, that they died in vain. I know that does not make the parents who lost loved ones feel very good. But it's the truth. And sometimes you need to tell the truth, no matter how harsh the truth may sound, to keep other parents from losing their children to another lie. If we aren't willing to accept the fact that American boys and girls died in Iraq in vain, then we're likely to send them someplace else. But that's the truth. They died in vain. Why? Because of idiots like John McCain. Because of warmongers like John McCain. That's why they died. Those parents ought to be blaming John McCain. They ought to be holding him accountable. He ought to be in prison. One of the things that I recognize is such a great example of why you ought not vote on the national level is the election one cycle ago between John McCain and Barack Hussein Obama. Now, if that was not an election between the greater of two evils, I don't know what was. Can you imagine if we had elected John McCain, the condition of the world? We'd be involved in World War III in Syria right now. We would have engaged in the war in Libya with troops on the ground. We'd still have America's troops dying in Iraq, and we'd have a much larger and more aggressive presence in Afghanistan, making 1,000 more enemies for everyone we kill. Imagine that. Yes, Obama has been a disaster in every imaginable way, but John McCain would have been worse. No sane and informed individual is wondering whether or not they died in vain. John, as a result of your mistakes in judgment, they died making a bad situation infinitely worse, ultimately making America vastly more vulnerable because of what it did not only to Iran, empowering Iran, but creating a proxy war in Syria that has world powers, China and Russia, now opposed to the United States over Syria. And the longer the U.S. remains stuck in a losing proposition, the worse it becomes, just as is the case of Afghanistan, just as the case of Vietnam. The Time magazine article continues, outsiders, including Saddam Hussein, have always had trouble dealing with the restive city of 200,000. It's not true. Saddam Hussein wasn't an outsider. He's Sunni. He didn't have trouble with Fallujah. America did. And now the Shiite government does. The opposite, of course, is true. Fallujah was not one of Saddam's problems. He struggled with the Kurds and the Shias because both aided and abetted Iran. This Time article goes on to say, and foreign militaries have done no better. What foreign military has been in Fallujah other than the Americans? One reason is bombs during the 1991 Gulf War intended to take out a bridge over the Euphrates took out a market instead, killing about 100 civilians. Well, that was the least of our problems. The bigger problems were that when America invaded Iraq, we used cluster bombs. We killed tens of thousands of Iraqi citizens. And there was no place where America's military was more ruthless against the civilian population than Fallujah, which is why the Fallujah population desecrated those two aid workers, hanging them from a bridge in effigy while tens of thousands of people chanted and looked on, poking them. Fallujah is indicative of Sunni Islam rising up against the new elevated status of Shiite Islam. It's a mess we made, John, and there's no way to resolve it now. The Time magazine article on the fall of Fallujah reads, tensions spiked in March of 2004 when Iraqi militants, they were Iraqi Sunnis and Shiites, killed four U.S. contractors and hung their bodies from a bridge. That sparked two 2004 battles for Fallujah, during which about 100 U.S. troops were killed before the U.S. regained control. The images of that day, and I have, if you go to the prophetofdoom.net website, there's a pictorial depiction of what occurred in Fallujah. And the truth is, the residents of Fallujah were savages. They were subhuman, right down to the women and children. They were inhuman by any moral standard. Crowds of tens of thousands could well have been 100,000, half the city's population. They turned out to cheer and to abuse the carcasses of the four dead Americans. They drugged their bodies through the streets so the women and children could poke at them and kick at them. They burned them. They hung them in effigy from a bridge. They spit at them. They shouted Islamic slogans at them. And it wasn't a few hundred or a few thousand, but tens of thousands. You can't save a community like that. You can't do anything to benefit a community like that. A community like that isn't worth the sacrifice of the lives of your sons and daughters. You certainly aren't defending America's security interests by going to a hellhole like that. You know, they've simply changed from killing Americans and desecrating their bodies to mutilating one another. Let them continue to do so. You can't fix it. The Time article reads, the U.S. battles for Fallujah are seared into the memory of the troops who fought there because of their brutality, according to Marine Colonel John Ballard. And the next quote is going to be from him. And as you listen to this quote, I want you to think, how do you win a war when you're allegedly there to serve the population that you're fighting against, that you are there to liberate the people that you are killing, that you are there to provide freedom to those that you are bombing? How is it possible that any sane nation could think that this was, wow, this was the way to go. This was going to win their hearts for sure. Marine Colonel John Ballard said, the fighting in Fallujah was up close. Vicious, unpredictable, and very manpower intense. Some buildings in the city were cleared multiple times. The tank was used often and with telling effect. Indirect fires from 155 millimeter artillery positioned less than 5 kilometers away in Camp Fallujah were used on a daily basis before, during, and after the heaviest period of fighting. Frequently, small unit leaders would push stacks of Marines or soldiers into buildings while employing laser-guided bombs, artillery, and tank main gun rounds on adjoining buildings. The combat bulldozer was used by combat engineers and Seabees on several occasions to push the walls of buildings in on stubborn defenders. Insurgents used armor-piercing bullets and even sewed grenades into their clothing to kill and maim U.S. troops at any opportunity. We were not fighting this war against an army. This was not like going into occupied France and having American troops in uniform shooting German troops who were also in uniform. It's not like having a tank battle of tank against tank. It's not like having an artillery barrage from one side against the other. No. We had an artillery barrage against a civilian community, a city of 200,000 people. We fired our tanks into buildings that were occupied by civilians. They had no tanks to fire back. They had no artillery to fire back. We bulldozed buildings filled with civilians down, right around, on top of those in them. We would use our military to empty a building of civilians and have the civilians reoccupy it. And we wonder why those civilians were vicious, why they killed us, why they did not want us there. Stunning that we would behave in this way